sweetie.
Well, glory to God.
I'm so happy to be back in prayer school. Are you all happy to be here today? Now, I'm looking for a group of people that are just ready to receive from the Lord, not to receive from a person. But we know that the word of God is alive and living. Amen. We know that his word works in our lives. So I want you to stand up on your feet with me, please. Now, I'm little, but I know how to run fast, and I know how to walk in high heels. And so we're going to go for some things in the spirit this afternoon. But first, I want you to lift your hands with me and say this with me. Father, we love you. We're so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful for the word. That your word is alive. That your word is living. And your word is on the inside of me. And today I ask that you would give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you by having the eyes of my heart flooded with light, that I would know, that I would know the hope of your calling. Speak to me, Holy Ghost. I thank you that I know you. I'm so thankful that I know you. I open my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You can take a seat. So as Mrs. Leanne said, I graduated in 2008, and it's been an exciting adventure. 8 years later, I'm back in prayer school. And over the last 8 years, it's been an adventure that I never thought I'd walk out. You know, because when you come to Rhema, you have an expectation, but you don't really know what's ahead. The Lord will show you things to come because he's given us the Holy Spirit. But we cannot have an idea of all the things that he has for us. And so when you're here in prayer school, when you're sitting under this ministry, when you're learning how to pray, just have a greater expectation of the things that he has for you. Because ultimately, your life is not your own. I belong to him. He bought me with the precious blood of his son. So everything that I am belongs to him. Everything that I have, everything that I do belongs to him because we are in covenant. And so when you say yes, get ready. Hold on for that adventure. Amen. So I went home and served at my home church, sat under my home pastor, and learned how to submit to authority. Rhema students, it's important to learn how to submit to authority. Submit under another man's vision to help promote the ministry, not of a man, but of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Because it's not about us anyways. It's about helping advance his kingdom. And then after that, I worked for Crusade Evangelist for 2 years, traveled to India and to Mexico, got to see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people born again and healed. Amen? And then after that, the Lord sent me on to Brazil. And I lived in Brazil for 3 years, and I worked in the Amazon. Anyone ever heard of the Amazon before? Okay, so please try to picture me with not high heels on. Jewel over here, she traveled with me for 3 months in 2013, before she was a Rhema student. We had our hair on top of our head, slept in hammocks, bathed in the river, worked with an indigenous tribe. I did that for over 2 years. And let me tell you something, guys. You are carriers of the presence of the Lord. You carry the very presence of God on the inside of you. And so when you go into the deep, dark places, your light does shine. Your light shines brighter the darker it is. And so the places that we went to, that the Lord had sent me to, I can't even begin to describe to you how good the faithfulness of the Lord is. Because in these villages, I was working with the Tikuna tribe in particular, and they worship the sun, the moon, the stars. They have 11 different gods that they worship. And so when we come in and bring this gospel, what is it? It's the gospel of peace, right? So what do we carry with us? We carry peace with us. We carry restoration with us. We carry the power of God with us that produces miracles because the word is alive, amen? And so I have one particular story that I love to share. And so this was probably my second year in the Colombian Amazon, because I was working in the Brazilian, Colombian, and Peruvian. And we had heard of this village called Arara. And Arara was the largest village that we had ever been to, about 5,000 people. But I had been in villages with 50 people. You know, God cares about the 50 as much as he does the 5,000. And then another village had 100. And then like another one, 1,000. It doesn't matter about the number of people. He matters. One person matters. She matters. One person matters. And so in this particular village, we had heard that they had never allowed white people to come in, that they didn't want the gospel to come in. And when people would try to come up to their village, they would kick them out. And so we began to pray before we went. Because how many of you know prayer precedes the going? Amen. What we pray out is what we're going to walk out. Amen? And so that's why prayer is so important, because it prepares the way. The crooked way becomes straight. Every high valley made low, every low valley made high, preparing the way of the Lord. And so we began to pray and to decree and to declare that their hearts were being prepared and opened, that we were going to have favor with the chief. Because when you go to do village work, you've got to work with the chief. You can't just go in and break down walls and think you're going to make a difference if you don't have authority given to you to do so. And so we pray, because the spiritual atmosphere is really heavy. It's dark. They have witchcraft. They put curses on one another. People die because of that, because they practice witchcraft. And so it's very real. Here in the United States, it's not as predominant, or you don't really see it. But overseas, you see it a lot. So anyways, we're praying out the plan, and we get a, yes, we're going to go. And so we prepare a small team of people with one of the ladies I was working with. She was from the Colombian side, but was originally from Brazil. And she was working with the Tucuna, a particular village. And so we took a team with us, and we arrived. We had our backpacks. We had water. We had food. We brought Bibles. But most importantly, what did we have with us? We had the Holy Ghost. We had his presence. We had the word. Amen. And so we took hours on a boat ride, and it like 2 hours trucking it into a village, guys, carrying backpacks. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hard the journey is, because believe me, you're going to have challenges. But it's worth every minute. And so we arrive, and we're looking to have a meeting with the chief, and he's out doing something. So we end up having to wait around for 6 hours. And so the second chief allows us to set up camp in his home. Now, when I say set up camp, they don't have a home with air conditioning. They don't have conveniences such as, you know, a refrigerator. So, no, we set up our hammocks on the inside of their little wooden house, and we just began talking and having conversation. They weren't too engaging at that time because they didn't really know us. And 6 hours go by. Oh, during that time, they did allow us to cook. They allowed us to bathe in their river. Who wants to take a shower in a river? Anybody? Yeah. It's fun. It's cold. So, anyways. So, the chief ends up showing up about 6 hours later, and so he wants to talk with us. He goes, so who are you? What are you doing here? What's this message you want to share with us? And how is it going to bring a positive impact to my village, to my people? Because I don't just want anyone showing up here, in those words. Now, he was speaking in Tucuna, which was then translated into Spanish and then into Portuguese. So talk about language barriers here and help from heaven, right? Lorinda knows all about this. So we begin to share with him that the gospel, what does it do, guys? It brings peace. It brings restoration. It brings healing. It brings a relationship not with the creation of God, but with the very creator himself. And so he goes, okay, I'll let you go door to door, meaning not door to door, but little hut to hut, if you will. So he said, tomorrow you can do that, but I'm not going to give you permission yet to have you speak in a mass amount yet. I said, okay, that's fine. So the next day, we have a small team. There's like 5 or 6 of us. And I think we only had one guy. So we go door to door. We're sharing the gospel with people. Now imagine, guys, in a village where they've not seen white people before. They've never heard of who Jesus is. You think you get 5 minutes with them? No, they want to hear it. They're hungry for it. So you sit an hour, hour and a half with people, getting to know them in their homes. They're asking you questions, and you get to explain the love of the Father with them. It's beautiful. And so we do that for hours during that day. We have a lunch break, and then we do it again. We go back out, and we're seeing miracles. We're seeing God do amazing things in these people. And so we go back to the home of the second chief, and he walks up to me, and he says, I think it was in Spanish or Portuguese, I don't know. He said, Josie, I heard that people are being healed, and I wanted to know if you would pray to your God to heal me. I said, oh, well, sure, no problem. So I call over my team, and guys, when you're praying with people, there's power. Corporate prayer is powerful when you're in agreement with somebody. And so I said, we would like to put our hands on you. So something was going on in the discs in his back, and it was hard for him to move, to sit down, to walk. And he had, I think, a hernia or something in his stomach, and or wherever that might be, I don't know. So anyways, we put our hands on him, and the power of God fell so strongly. He began to weep. This indigenous young man, 22 years old, he began to weep. He could not keep himself together. It was uncontrollable. I'm not exaggerating. It was uncontrollable. And he was backing up, and he said, what is this presence? What do I have to do to have this with me all the time? Woo! We are carriers of the presence of God. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Are you excited about that? So this man says, what is this presence? How can I have this with me all the time? And so he sits down. Oh, by the way, he has a 2-year-old son. His son comes up to him and hugs his leg. Daddy's crying, so therefore the son starts to cry. Because he doesn't know what's going on, and the power of God is just so strong. And so we share the gospel with him, and he said, I want it. He got born again right there. He was instantly healed, and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He started speaking in tongues. You don't have to be a Christian for 25 years to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, nor even for 5 minutes. Come on now. When you get born again, you're qualified. So not only did that happen, the chief had given us permission to have an open meeting that night. And so we called the village people who wanted to come. And this young man who just got born again, healed and baptized in the Holy Ghost, he translated for us. And he led his people to Jesus. And then he laid hands on the sick. God used him as a believer just then and there to pray for his own people, and he got to see every person he prayed for instantly healed. Blind eyes were open, tumors were falling off, legs healed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This gospel that we carry is real. And the things that you pray out in this room this year, you are going to see in your future. So many times, I've been on the field for the last 4 years living, but I've been doing missions for 13 years. So over the last now 8 years, the Lord reminds me, he said, remember in prayer school these things that you prayed out? I'd literally be walking and the Lord would remind me of a specific place here on this ministry that I was praying. And he said, that's when you prayed that out. In the mornings when I would study here, I would go early into the church auditorium, and I think it was maybe 7 o'clock, 7:30, and the doors would be opened, and I would go in and just walk around the green path around the stage, and the Lord would say, yep, it was then when you prayed that out. It was then that you prayed that out. I learned how to pray under Miss Leanne. I learned how to be led by his spirit and to step out in prayer and to ask for the bold things. I want to be bold in my prayer life. I don't want to be hindered by what I see in the natural. I don't want to be hindered what I feel in the natural. Jan has been a huge inspiration and a prayer partner and a ministry partner. I'm so grateful for her. Lorinda, we became friends at Rhema. She has been a woman of prayer in my life. I can't even tell you for how many years. Guys, having people to stand with you in prayer is essential. Get together with people and pray while you're here. I want to read you something in John chapter 17. The Lord has just been really ministering to me in this. The simplicity of the gospel. The things that Jesus did on the earth, the way that he lived his life, the way that he heard the Father. Because, you know, he said, I only speak what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. And when we are sensitive to his spirit, we can live like that. We don't have to waste our words. We don't have to waste our time. Because believe me, our time goes quick. My words are valuable, and I want to speak words of faith. I want to speak words of life. I want to lead millions to the Lord Jesus Christ, taking them out of the kingdom of hell. That's what my life is for, and that's what your life is for. You might not be called to go to the Amazon. You might not be called to go to Africa. You might not be called to go around the world, but you're called here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. So I want you to listen to these words that Jesus prayed over us, not just over his disciples, but over us as his followers. So he says here in John chapter 17, we're going to read several verses, starting in 3. I have the Amplified version. And this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, to become acquainted with and understand you, the only true and real God. And likewise, to know him, Jesus, as the Christ, the anointed one and the Messiah, whom you have sent. I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me along with yourself and restore me to such majesty and honor in your presence as I had with you before the world existed. Listen to these words, guys. I have manifested your name. I have revealed your very self to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed and kept your word. I have revealed your very self. That's what Jesus was here on the earth to do, to reveal the Father. You know what he said to the disciples? He said, you have seen me. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When people see you, you are to represent the Father. Who do you represent? Who do you represent? I was in Doug Jones's class this morning, and we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We're going to go down to verse 25 here. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually, and these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them, and I have revealed your character, your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them. Hallelujah. Our relationship with the Father is the most important thing that we have here on the earth. Ministry flows out of our relationship with him. We are to know him to make him known. Amen? We are to know him first. Miss Leanne talks about this all the time, that we know him, that we know the Spirit of truth, that we are led by him, that he is our great shepherd. Father, I'm so grateful that I know the Holy Ghost, that I'm not led by what I see, I'm not led by what I hear, that your voice is more real to me than the voice of many waters, than the voice of circumstances, than the voice of challenges, than the voice of people, that your voice is more real to me than everything else around me. Amen. We can live a life like that, guys. We know him, so we can make him known. Now, like I said, I was in the Amazon working there for 2 years and in Brazil for 3. And then the Lord moved me literally across the world to Africa. And I worked there for about a year in Uganda. And, you know, I was doing completely different work in Uganda than I was in the Amazon. But people are people. People are people. It doesn't matter which people group God sends you to or wants to use you to minister to. When you are sensitive to his voice on the inside, you have what they need. Amen. I would like to sing a song. And you might know it, you might not, but that's okay. I am yours, God, for your glory. worship you. I live to worship you. We are his, you guys. Would you stand up with me? I am yours, God, for your glory I exist. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. I am yours. For your glory. For your glory I exist. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to worship. To worship you. To worship you, I live to worship you, oh, I worship you, to worship you, I live to worship you. Shopore bebe se shake diama nama sokoa lo kalaka se shikita sokoro korikias anamash sokoriama namas sokorobarobasa o kalaka sato shokoriama namash sokota o kalaka se shikiana masoborisi tiesha sokolo konta. Father, we ask you for the nations, my King. You say in your word to ask you for the nations and you will give us the nations. Father, we ask you for the United States of America. Father, we thank you for this time and this season, for the students that are here to sit under this word of faith, to catch the spirit of faith, to take the word that you have put on the inside of them. Father, I thank you for the people groups that you're going to send them to. Oh, Father. Oh, just and righteous Father. You know, ladies, if you're single in here, you don't have to wait for your husband to start walking in the call. I just turned 30 last week. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait. There's a purpose. There's a destiny on the inside of you. And young men, you don't have to wait for your wife. The Lord's calling you now to step out in faith, to walk in the things that he has for you. There's no limitations except for the ones that you put on yourself. God wants to use your hands to heal the sick. I want to tell this story. I want you to picture this in your mind, traveling down the river, the Amazon River, and arriving in a small village and walking into this little room and this man laying in a hammock about ready to die. And he's never heard the gospel before. People matter to him. Eternities matter to him. And I'm there with just a small team of people. And I get down on my knees. In broken Portuguese, I ask him if he's ever heard of the name of Jesus. And he looks at me and he shakes his head and he said, no. I was told that he had had throat cancer. And he was not able to eat or drink any, not what he could drink, but he couldn't eat or chew any food for 3 months. So everything that he had was mushed up in like a liquid form. And so he was stick thin and ready to die. And so as I asked him if he had heard of Jesus, he said, no. And I said, can I tell you about the love of God? And he said, yes. So I began to share the gospel, the love of God with him. And I shared that Jesus not only died on the cross for his sins, but also for healing in his body. And I asked him if he would like to ask Jesus to be the Lord of his life. And mind you, he could barely speak because he had no strength in his body. So I asked him if he would nod his head with me and lip speak if he could. And so in that moment, the peace of God was there with us. And I believe that he gave his life to the Lord. And a week later, my pastor friends went back to this village, and this man was up, healed, and back to work. Glory to God. Glory to God. He is the healer of our physical bodies, you guys. And sometimes we might not see an instant miracle right in front of us, but the power of God is at work even when you don't see it. There was a group of people that came to a city that I was in the Amazon, and 5 of them were deaf. And they were believers. And I began to share with them the miracles that we were seeing because of God's mercy for them, his love for them. And I asked them, would you like to be healed? Would you like to hear? 5 of them, 3 of them said yes. Because you know, you have a choice to receive the power of God. He's a gentleman. He won't push his love on you. And so when you're going to pray for the sick, think of this. Think about this. And so we began to worship the Lord. I said, raise your hands. I had an interpreter. He was signing. And so I said, you just lift your hands. And you begin to see yourself healed. See yourself hearing for the first time. See yourself communicating with opening your mouth and not having to use your hands. See yourself in the fullness of what God has for you. And so as we were worshiping the Lord, I put my hands on their ears. And the power of God, boom, hit them. And they fell over and they began to hear. Hallelujah. Boom, 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 their ears opened. Not because of who I am, but because of his great love for them. He is so good. And he wants people to encounter him. He wants you to encounter him. So those things that I've been seeing over their years are fruit of praying things out. Just being in his presence. Just being a daughter of the Most High God. And when you get his heart, there's nothing that you can't do. Amen. I have lots of stories. I have had lots of challenges. There's gonna be challenges along the way. But this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, we worship you. Lift your hands again. I want you to see yourself doing the impossible. See yourself reaching the lost, leading people into the kingdom of heaven. See yourself praying for the sick and seeing those miracles, because greater works than these shall you do in my name. Father, we want to see the greater works. Oh, risiti amana masa. We want to see your power at work in us and through us. Oh, come on, guys, get louder. I want a so shikini ama sabadoba she. Oh, oh, sasholo borisiti akasho koto so. Oh, kalamasi she sikiada baso koria mana masuto. Oh, kasha sakata she kita. So great and mighty are you, great and mighty are you, great and mighty are you, God. Great and mighty, 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 great and mighty you are. We worship you. We worship you, God. So begin to pray it out, guys. Shora sadasha desa. We are your children, filled with your love, God. Filled with your love, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that love, God. Thank you, Jesus, that we are first children. Your identity is not in what you do. Your identity is not in where you came from. Your identity is not based upon the call. It's based on who you are as a child. See yourself in Him, because in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Don't define your self-worth and your self-value by what you do or by what you don't do. Walk in the fullness of what He has, because it's in that place of walking in the fullness is where the joy comes. Yes, it's the joy of not comparing to what this one person does or what this person does, but no, your eyes are fixed on Him. Look to heaven. Look to heaven. Look to heaven, because that is where Jesus is seated. He is high and lifted up. So look unto Him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because He is the one who defines you. He is the one who calls you. So rest. Rest. If that is for you, go ahead and just receive that.